Blog Talk Radio.
To the east, they look to the west. The third world wonders which way's the best. We got freedom.
By damn if it isn't. Definitely better in the USA. James Bostic, A Conservative Perspective, your crazy uncle's favorite radio show. Good to be here with you. It is Thursday, year of our Lord, January the 8th, 2021 AD. Tonight, coming up here in just a few minutes, they should be calling in just a little bit. Tonight, it's going to be Michelle, Marie, and Karen, the girls of Jexit, and we're going to be talking tonight when they call in about the riot. Well, we're going to get a little bit of the Jexit story, of course, and I want to call attention to something that I think is a remarkably serious problem, and that is, of course, the rising wave of anti-Semitism that we've seen in the United States over the last 12 to 16 years, and it's gotten really bad. So hopefully they're going to call in here in a minute, Michelle Trellis, and let's see, Karen, and Michelle Terrace, and Marie Fisher, and Karen. There was a change in the lineup. I thought it was going to be Sophia Manilescu, but it isn't. But it doesn't matter because these girls are great, and I'm looking forward to them calling in. It's going to be a great time. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio here at Patriot Nation. And we do it live. We also have a recorded program that goes out on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you ought to be, because it's the very latest and the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Tuesday night. If you weren't around Tuesday night, go into the archive. and check out Tuesday night's show. And there was a terrific, terrific second hour. And a terrific first hour. Gary Binford called in, my brother from another mother, and the host of United Patriots Uprising came in. Here's what happened. The understanding was that Mr. Horowitz was, I was going to call at 7:05, and we were going to start the show. And so I called at 7:05, and he was really cool, but there was a misunderstanding somewhere. It doesn't matter how it happened. But anyway, he was just getting ready to sit down to dinner with his wife. And so I'm talking with him, and he says, well, how long is this show? And I said, it's a two-hour show. And he said, well, okay, can we do this later? And I thought, damn, man, are you kidding me? But he didn't mean like another time as in another program. He just, and because then he said, I'm sitting down to dinner with my wife. And of course I understood that. And I said, absolutely. I'll call you back a little bit after 8. Will that be all right? And he was. And of course he was on. And that was a terrific show. One thing about David Horowitz that I want to say, and I'm just finding, what now? The number's not active. 347-637-3942. Well, let's see here. 637. Make sure I got the right number. 347-637-3492. Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm just checking the number here. They're texting me. That's why we're doing this. 347. Okay, let me see. That should be the number. And they're texting me right now. Oh, gosh, that should be the number. Yes, 347. 347. 637. Yeah, we're there, man. Ah, radio, you got to love it. You just got to love it. 3942. And that's the same number she gave me, so let's try it. I hope. Sometimes this happens, and we never know what's going to go on with it. Hopefully they'll call in. They say that the number is not active. And you know what? Blog Talk was squirrely today. I had to go to a completely different browser in order to Gary says he just got through. I'm making sure. Okay. So hopefully they'll call in here. Who is it? Who is it? Yes. I'm going to go ahead and bring them up now because somebody actually got through, and I'm hoping it's there they are. Hello, Michelle. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Yes, how are you?
I'm
really sorry about that. I had to move to a completely different browser. Blog Talk is a great platform. It really is. It's a great platform because very few places can do what we do here. You know, like real radio, you guys can call in. We can have callers, you know, listeners call in. But every now and then it gets a little wonky. And tonight was one, but you're here. And that's the important thing. Michelle Terrace,
yes,
is going to be with us. Is Marie with us as well? Who else is with us tonight?
Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi.
I'm also on. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen. Good to have you with us. Girls, here's how all this started. As you know, you guys were a guest on Gary Binford's United Patriots Uprising show a couple of different times, and I enjoyed what you guys did there. And, you know, I was so compelled that I texted Michelle while she was on the air with Gary to make sure that I could get her for my own program.
Thank you.
And that's not normally something I do, you know, because we have access to a lot of numbers for important people, and we don't want to abuse that. But since you were on the air and you knew who I was, I figured I had a shot. And we're really glad to have you with us. Michelle, or either of you, any of you girls, give us a little bit of background on the Jexit movement.
Oh, boy. It's really started to transition into so many different multifunctional phases because – of what's going on in today's world and what we're facing. It's so reminiscent of like 1917, 1938, 20, 2001, and now here we are, you know, facing the same perilous times. But what happened was, and the girls were with me from the very beginning, when we were the original people to coin the phrase "stop the steal" during the Supervisor of Elections in 2018, when we uncovered the Broward County basically stolen election, robbing our great governor DeSantis from his governorship. We found snipped ballot ties in the parking lot. We found trucks backing in all hours of the day and night. And our other good friend, Laura Loomer, literally during the time we were uncovering this steal, if you will, she chased down a rental car with provisional ballots. So we exposed the corruption in 2018. And we began to get calls from all over the country from, you know, citizens that were experiencing the same thing we experienced, and they were crying out for help. Hannity called us on the phone. He put the whole situation on air. We were trying to get help. We got Matt Gaetz came down, Rona from the RNC. I mean, everybody just converged in Broward County, and they did a hand recount. And lo and behold, the Jewish vote of 31,000 brought Governor DeSantis over the top, and he was then, elected. And it was a very sobering time for us, because had we not protested for 8 days, 24/7, we could be looking at Governor Gillum right now.
Oh God!
Can you just imagine that?
No, I'd rather not.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, well,
that's how close it was.
He's in the orbit. He's circling the orbit again, believe it or not.
Exactly. This is a fight that has to go on. You know, there's got to be people like us that are activists that know the truth, are ready to execute and mobilize. And we find that women win elections. And Jewish women, you don't want us in your face. You just don't.
No.
Well, we need to be
Jewish
women,
Italian women, any women.
Any women, right. And yeah. We need to be extra careful now, because we have a very good governor here in Florida, but we can't rest on our laurels. We can't take it for granted, because like I was saying, we just today I learned from the girls that Gillum was back in the orbit. And, most people would say, look, we have pictures of him in a pile of his vomit after having OD'd and almost killed his gay lover after God only knows how many nights of orgy. And one would say his career is finished. But we're dealing right now with a leftist movement that is so degenerate that they actually embrace the degeneracy, and they embrace – this is not going to bother them. Just like it doesn't bother them about Hunter Biden, it doesn't bother them. They embrace the fact that they can deal with something like that.
They overlook, when it's their side, when it's the liberals, they overlook all of the
everything.
Negative. Yeah, they overlook everything.
Everything.
In terms of identity politics, okay, he's black, he's gay, he's got a drug problem. He's a shoe-in for the Democrats.
He's very popular.
I know, right?
he's a home run.
Wrong and wrong is right. He's a home run, right.
But the Democrats, they parade him out with his wife and his kids and how he's gone through this, and then he gets everyone's heartstrings he pulls on, and next thing he's a hero.
He's been rehabilitated.
Well, and two, the thing of it is, and this is a sad thing, but the public has a pretty short memory. Not folks like us, mind you, but the guys that get, in half hour of news in the evening after dinner, or they listen to the radio on the way home from work, and that's it. And to them, yeah, he probably is rehabilitated. They're probably thinking, yeah, we'll give him a second chance. That's the kind of country we are. But that's totally wrong, because this guy's he's just like every other toxic liberal that's out there. They spread their toxicity and everybody gets infected.
But they don't expose who's behind him. We're talking CARE. We're talking Soros.
Right.
We're talking evil agenda. We're talking Marxists. We're talking, you know, just pure evil.
Incarnate. And there's no policy. There's no idea that the liberals, you know, that the left can bring forward. Gary and I talked about this the other night. There's no policy that's too brutal, too impractical, too cold-hearted, too prone to failure that they won't get behind and defend till the last unknocked out tooth or unbroken bone. It's okay for guys to go into the women's restroom. It's okay to abort a child after it has been born and you've talked it over. It's okay
we've
for
lost
guys
our moral,
to. I'm sorry,
we've
go ahead.
Lost our moral compass.
Yes, completely lost the moral compass. And then they try to justify it. That's the amazing thing. When you have a conversation with people about these issues and they justify it.
Exactly. And I don't understand how that can possibly be, because when we look at how do you justify a guy being able to go into a women's restroom?
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm sorry.
You know, what they're doing is they're insisting, okay, obviously, whoever this person is, God bless them, they don't need to be going into a women's restroom. They need therapy. They need to be talking to somebody professional about what's going on with them. But instead, the left insists that we indulge these people in their madness, in their psychological illness, and say it's okay, and lend some type of nobility to it.
Well, and furthermore, they're bringing that into the school to children. They're confusing children.
Exactly. The indoctrination has been going on for decades.
Yeah. That's the scariest part. When, you know, I'm a live and let live kind of girl. I really don't judge, and, you know, I don't care how somebody wants to live. But don't put it in our children's face, and don't, you know, when our children are 7 and 8 and 9 years old, there are just things that are very inappropriate. And unfortunately, the school boards have been taken over by this leftist mentality. And that is one of our goals that we're working towards, is making changes. We're trying to help people get elected in these positions and inform them to how important it is.
Yes.
Which leads us to one of the interesting experiences we had this year at the school board in Palm Beach County. We fought to stop the reinstatement of a principal, that Principal Latson, that denied that the Holocaust, he couldn't say whether the Holocaust existed. This is our school system, okay?
Palm Beach County, I don't mean to laugh, but this is ridiculous.
Community. But this was after we had a rally. Okay, we had a rally in Boca Raton, Florida, affluent Boca Raton, Florida, for a Jewish student that was bullied in the classroom. She was bullied in the classroom. They put swastikas up on the locker. They told her that Jews belong in ovens, and they're going to bring a suicide bomber to blow her up. Okay, this was going on in the school. So, lo and behold, all the Jewish agencies that the mother contacted, and by the way, she came from a Holocaust background, they basically didn't want to get involved because they were more concerned about their donors and the dollar bill. At any rate, she got to me somehow, and We never say no. We are there to help anybody. We put on a rally. The rally got about 3 minutes of press and news because it wasn't interesting. You know, it's just Jewish people that are being persecuted. At any rate, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but that's how it feels. You know, a noose gains international attention. But a swastika is freedom of speech. This is what the school was saying. Freedom of speech.
That's criminal. That's
yeah, it is. It is. And knowing
so
that
Sophia and I show up. Wait, Sophia and I show up at the school board. And that was
there.
One of the questions Sophia and I spoke. Karen was there as well. And our opening line was, "We speak for the 6 million Jews that have no voice." There was an actual Holocaust survivor there. There wasn't a dry eye in the school board. And one of the things that we said was, why are racists bad people, but anti-Semites are just good people that don't understand?
To me, an anti-Semite is just a very specific racist. And I don't understand
that.
I can't differentiate between the two beyond, you know, that my specialty is hating Jews. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. And that's what they do. There's no difference.
Right. And I mean, we brought it to their attention. We said, look, okay, we understand that all children need to be protected. So we understand, you know, the hardships of the Native American children. We understand the hardships of the African American children. We understand. Why can't we understand the hardships of the Jewish children? Why can't Jewish children be safe and be made to feel that they're safe just like all these other children? Why are we discriminating against Jewish children? And, you know, it comes back to, you know, Jews being one of the smallest minorities in the world. I always like to bring this up because people don't know. There's only 15 million Jews in the world. That's not a lot of people. Half of them live in Israel. And most people don't realize just what a minority the Jews are. And we are in danger. Whenever people begin whenever we see the rise of anti-Semitism, it is very, very dangerous. There's really not that many of us. And so we have to be extra careful, and we need to bring it, you know, we need to speak up when anti-Semitism rears its ugly head.
And it's getting worse every single day.
Yes.
And we won't be silent.
Yes.
You know, that's what we do. We call it out when we see it, whether it's on the right or on the left. And currently it's exploding on the left. And I hold Nancy Pelosi personally responsible, because when she had the opportunity to nip it in the bud, she let it go, and she put out a bill that didn't really address, and she left people on committees that have no business being on committees.
We have to say this, though. New World anti-Semitism, modern day anti-Semitism, is disguised as anti-Israel. And how can you be anti-Israel and not be an anti-Semite? You're either an anti-Semite or you're stupid.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And, that's a good way to put it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to differentiate.
No. It's not against the Jewish religion. It's against the policies of, but you know.
Right, and they're trying to dance pirouettes around this question. When 6 million Jews live in Israel, all right, if you're anti-Israel, you're an anti-Semite. That's it. There's no going around that.
No, it's inescapable. And the thing that I find more disturbing, and, you know, this has gone on since Barack Obama singed his hand on the Bible. When he took the oath of office, and it's gotten worse with Barack Obama, with the Obama administration, and now it appears apparently the Biden administration's treatment of Israel in terms of the foreign policy reversals. You know, they're legitimizing this, and you're absolutely right. Nancy Pelosi should have pulled Ilhan Omar, but everybody that was participating in this anti-Semitic bad that's going on.
Right.
She should have pulled them, but she's not going to, because these people are looking to, they're on these committees so that they can inflict the maximum damage on the American people and our system of government.
Right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're just a canary in the coal mine. Once they get us out of the way, they're coming after the Christians too. You know, it's
well, you better bet.
Who's in the way first?
Of course. Absolutely. And we're looking now the way that this whole thing is shaping up. I mean, we see that these people are clearly anti-American. We see that people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are basically systemic sabotage. They've been placed in the system to clog the toilet. They're not there to help. They're there to hurt the American people. They're there to hurt America. They hate this country, and they hate Israel. The day when Rashida Tlaib was sworn in her office, she was having a little party, and she had a map of the Middle East on her wall, and instead of Israel, she put a little sticker over it where it said Palestine. So she erased the state of Israel off of the map of the world. This is who we're talking about. We're talking
and if they
about
can...
people who absolutely – right.
Oh, exactly.
And I was going to say, and then if you really want to look at America and talk about the contributions that Jewish Americans made to this country and how we enjoy the freedoms we enjoy today because of the contributions. They financed the Revolutionary War. 500,000 fought in World War II. In the Revolutionary War, 10% of the Jews fought in the Revolutionary War. That was every Jewish man stood up, while there was only a 3% participation in the rest of America. The contributions that Jewish Americans made to this country translates into anti-Semitism, not only being anti-Jewish and anti-Israel, it's anti-Christian, anti-American, and anti-God.
Amen. They all seem to be going, absolutely, and they all seem to be going hand in hand, because this war that's going on right now is the war against our Judeo-Christian values.
Exactly.
It's the war against
our source of
Western
government, the Declaration, the Constitution,
right.
Every bit of it, our laws, the source, the keystone. The foundation
yes,
of all our laws in the United States come from Judeo-Christian concepts of law and justice.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And to deny those things is to deny the base of America, the base alloy of America.
We're in a spiritual battle.
That's exactly
it
right.
It's a
spiritual battle for our country, for the world.
Yeah, and
actually.
The soul of our nation and our souls, basically. We're in a. If we had spiritual glasses, we would see this war.
And
well, they're certainly trying to bring down anything spiritual. I mean, these people who are atheists,
right.
Who are looking for a one-world government. They want a one-world government with the oligarchs at the top, you know, pulling the strings, and everybody else under a form of global Marxism. That is, you know, if it were to happen, it would be a nightmare. It would make George Orwell's 1984 look like a walk in the park. They are igniting such hate, and it's hate against Jews. It's hate against white people. It's hate against black people. It's hate. All they're doing is they're creating so much hate and dissension between people. It is absolutely extremely evil, and we have to, you know, be true to our Judeo-Christian values, and I think it's a fine line to walk between denouncing them and not judging and being a good person, and yet at the same time being a happy warrior and defending ourselves. And, you know, we have to walk this path. It's very narrow
and,
path.
And look what they achieved during COVID. The strip clubs were open, the bars were open, and the casinos were open. And where was the synagogues and the churches? That's
Whoa.
Marxism,
Whoa.
Removing God
and
from the public
arresting.
Square. And
right.
And I challenge all the pastors and the rabbis, they need to lead. They need to step out and lead, and this country needs to go back to its foundation.
Exactly, and the
yeah.
problem, we're going to have a problem
right.
with that, because when you look in the university systems in the United States, they're nothing but a hotbed. Of anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's
yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's generations now. Every year we've got graduates coming out of these places that have not been taught how to think, but rather what to think. Thinking
sure.
that they've been thinking
of
that
course.
They've been taught how to think. You know, I challenge any political. Yeah, and you, I guarantee there are no, well, I won't say no, but. I would say that it is probably a fraction of a percent of political science departments in this country that actually have a conservative teaching there. It's not going to happen. And
yeah.
these guys are being taught year after year after year. What is it's the I can't remember the group. Boycott, divest, and sanction.
And sanction.
Oh, yes. Yes.
BDS, they're running all over the place
movement.
in colleges and universities all over America.
We've got radicals in our college system teaching kids hate, anti-Semitism, anti-American. Yeah. They're using the Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn example. You know, those domestic terrorists who became college professors teaching anti-American propaganda, and they attacked federal buildings in D.C. and New York City. This is who's in our colleges.
Okay, so wait,
right.
if I'm not mistaken, isn't there something about the school, what are they? You know, the union, the school union, the teachers union.
The student union. Yes.
Not a student union.
Yeah, the unions, the teachers union, if I'm not mistaken, I just read yesterday or the day before that they were voting to support BDS. So what does that tell you? Am I correct in that? Did anybody else see that, or did I imagine it?
No, you saw
it. I think it sounds similar.
No.
It's been going around, yeah.
I mean, that's a scary thought, that they – Palace
what about
doesn't
right
mean,
here in Davie?
It's a made-up place.
What about right here in Davie, the girl at their graduation? She gave a shout-out to Allah, and –
God.
And now there's...
She was...
You heard about that.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, and it's all good. Everything is good. Everything. And, okay, there is free speech, and I understand that. And we've got it. Well, we have some of it left. But there is also the concept of propriety. There's nothing on earth to stop me from yelling fire in a crowded movie house. But if I do, then the consequences could be disastrous. But nobody wants to think about the consequences of what they say or how to weigh their words. And so they think it's okay, and that the shock value of these things is what gives them their acceptability, their legitimacy.
Well, it's been a long time in the making, because the enemies
True.
Of America and this infiltration, I had to hold my nose and read Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, because I wanted to understand. And, you know, it starts at the first page that's dedicated to Lucifer. So right then and there, okay, we see where this is going. And it's interesting, and I recommend that everybody read that book, because if people read it, and it's not a lengthy book, if you read that book, you're going to understand everything that's happening and the entire philosophy of the leftists. The leftist mentality is explained in that book. All their lines, how to take over the media, how to infiltrate. And this that was written in the 60s, he actually is teaching people how to infiltrate the school boards and the local governments, because it's too hard to infiltrate at the top at the federal. So don't start at the federal. Start at the local. Infiltrate the colleges. Infiltrate the school boards. This is where you're going to start planting the seeds, and this is how they started. And right now we see, decades later, the fruit of this mentality that infiltrated our institutions. And it
sadly,
infiltrated
they,
all of our institutions.
Sadly, they said that they would take over without shooting a bullet. And so as Sophia is explaining, this has been in the plans. Now it's out in the open, and people are, fortunately, some people are waking up and seeing what's happening. And I think there's a lot of voters' remorse. I call it buyer's remorse. But, you know, I think there's some very sorry people out there. It's just a little late. And we really need to stay focused on 2022, because if we don't take back the Senate and the House, it's over. We won't have a 2024 to vote for, in my opinion. Not to sound like doom and gloom, but, I mean, that's my fear.
Well, and you know, I understand that very clearly, and you're not exaggerating, because, you know, we live in this time where the media, government, Hollywood, newspapers, newsprint, all of our culture, or the leading influencers of our culture, fundamentally communists.
Oh, yeah.
And it's difficult, and it does seem very discouraging at times. You think, well, how the hell do, how are we going to, how can we beat these guys? And it does. It is kind of discouraging at times.
Well, we've been able to empower people because we speak out. And, you know, the cancel culture and the PC and diversity, that's going to be our demise. And this is what's so important. It takes people like you. It takes women like us to stand up and speak out so that people hear the voice and they understand they're not alone. We have empowered so many people that although they may not be able to do what we do because they're scared, they still support us and they're rooting us on. And we are the, you know, it's a groundswell. It has to start at the local level. It has to start at the bottom. And we have to take back this country at a local level through the legislature, is like what we're doing now. And we can talk about some of the things that we are doing as an organization. But this is what it's going to take.
And also, we have to keep in mind that all is not lost. They may be winning the cultural war, but we are winning the legislative war because more states have a conservative legislature. And so we're working very hard right now. All the conservative states are uniting together. And, you know, Florida, of course, is a prime example of how it can be done. But we have more conservative states than we do liberal states. And this is where the war is being fought right now. And it's not as, you know, big media. It doesn't have the fireworks. It's going on quietly. But it's happening. And like Michelle was saying, we have to take the local level. People need to get involved. Okay, getting on Facebook and arguing with people is not going to solve anything. People need to get involved. We need to fill out precincts. In Broward alone, we had anywhere between 600 and 1,400 seats that need to be filled. All right, we're talking about committee men and committee women. People need to get involved. It's not time-consuming. It takes a couple of hours a week of work, and it makes a whole difference because we need to be out there talking to our neighbors, spreading the message, telling them who to vote for, doing our research, getting involved on the ground, doing voter registration, petitions, door-to-door, knocking on doors, helping the candidates who are America First. Everybody needs to get involved. Don't think someone else is going to do it for you. Right now, it's all hands on deck. We need everybody involved. And our organizations do that. We get people, we direct them to where they can go so that they can actually make a difference and help.
And another thing that we're doing is we're unifying. Like, we're working with other organizations now. Like, just with, for example, Surfside. We have been, you know, the FEMA and the insurance, they're not going to get to these people fast enough. So what we've done as an organization is we've been able to join forces with other groups of people, the IDF and some other volunteer organizations. And through our platform, which has grown significantly, we've been able to raise funds to provide the boots for the IDF while they were here, for survivors that needed clothes, that lost everything. We've been able to mobilize and execute faster than any of these insurance agencies. And when we do that, we're uniting, and people see what we're doing, and then it kind of, we can parlay that into the whole ideology that is, you know, is behind everything, and basically get our message out, and people respect what we're doing, and then they come on board.
We don't just talk the talk, is basically what Michelle's saying. We get down in the trenches, we will fight battles, and we will do whatever we can to help people to make this world a better place. Because this is the only chance we have. You know, there's this,
Well, and the strategy seems to be, and if we do counter this and we're able to push back, the strategy seems to be, among everyone I've talked to, you got to start local.
Absolutely.
And it's in your school boards, it's in your city councils, your county commissions. You got to start attending those meetings, and you've got to look at these people and who they associate with.
And you have to call them out. You have to be.
Yes.
You got
to
call out your rhinos too.
I'm sorry, what, Michelle?
You got to call out your rhinos. You got to
yes.
get everybody on the same page. You know, everybody wants to do it. There, you know, we're taking charge with our. We have a club called America First Patriots Club, because we were forward thinking and we realized there's a lot of Biden buyer's remorse out there. There's some independents that may not necessarily, you know, identify with the Republican Party, but they're America First Patriots. And by coming in and hearing candidates and hearing the policies and getting to know one another and getting to be part of the community, we're on the same page, and that's what it's going to take to unify. And we can answer questions, and we can get to a place where we may, you know, where what we can find out what unites us versus what divides us.
Right. And we want, you know, so often people feel like they don't have a voice and they don't have a place to go and they don't have a place to belong. More, you know, I'm hearing it more and more from the middle of the road moderates. They just, you know, so we're trying to educate them and welcome them.
And the difficult part in all this is that it seems, like I said, through social media and everything, it, so much of it is stacked against us. And culturally, as you pointed out very correctly, culturally, yeah, it's stacked against us. But we are seeing pushback, and we're seeing it in the important places. We're seeing it not enough. They should have started this a long time ago, but better late than never. We're starting to see it with the Board of with parents pushing back against the Board of Education concerning, you know, this critical race theory.
Crap. It's the best thing that could have possibly happened. I hate to say that, but it definitely is waking up a lot of people that otherwise just go to work every day, listen to the, you know, 6 o'clock news and call it a day. They don't get involved, but now their children's lives are at stake and they see it.
Literally, their lives are – that's not an exaggeration what you're saying.
No.
Their lives are.
Right.
And these parents, thank God, are starting to recognize it. Yeah, they're starting to recognize that fact. And it's going it's going to have to be – that's a start. Like I said, that's a very good start. But, again, going to your Board of Education meetings, going to your county commission meetings, your city council meetings, your ward meetings in the larger cities – that's where this stuff that if we have a chance of eradicating it, that's where it is. And you're right, it's not just the progressive left, it's these phony baloney rhino Republicans.
Oh, right. They and are gonna, the worst.
And now they're going to come knocking on our doors, right? And setting up
yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on over.
Knock on my door for a vaccine.
I'm going to open up the door and sneeze on them. Why?
And
what do you want?
And Pelosi's police?
It's
you guys
the,
right,
about
the Capitol Police coming to a city near you in Florida.
Right.
Stop.
And that's exactly what you excuse me, do you remember? This is all this stuff, and you were right when you're saying that critical race theory was probably the best thing to happen because of the revulsion and the pushback that it's generating. Gary Benford and I were talking about that. Everything that they're doing, fortunately, when they get close, when liberals get close, when the progressives get close to their goal or whatever that may be, invariably they have a tendency towards overreach. And I think that that's what's happened here. And that overreach, a good example of that overreach would be critical race theory, because moms and dads, hopefully enough of them, you know, are going all over the country and they're rooting out the people that are responsible for this, and they're calling them on it. That's I don't know. That's probably
right.
The most effective weapon we have in our arsenal.
I think
right.
It is.
Coercion and fear is the only environment they can survive in, right?
Exactly. Yes. The pandemic gives us all the evidence of that we need.
That's right.
Yeah. That's so funny. I put up a post today, and it went crazy. Let me see what I said. It was really the coronavirus is mutating into communism, the communist variant.
Yeah. Yeah. In the 1930s, it was called critical class. They didn't say theory. They had another name for it, but it was called, and all they've done, it's the same idea where the communists were villainizing and demonizing the middle class, which is what they're doing here, rather than making it about a socioeconomic class strata, they've turned it into race. That's the only thing
that's
changed.
It's a complete race thing, completely.
Yeah.
I mean, the white person is now, you know, white person bad. You know, it's no longer
this is South
Van
Africa.
Bad. It's, yes,
we're living in South Africa. It's exactly what we're experiencing now.
Well, hopefully there's enough of us that are speaking out, and you know, things will be done. Another thing that I'd like to talk about is I'd like to talk about the people that are still being held jail in D.C. I think that it is just awful. I mean, you know, it's unexcusable, and it's a complete power struggle.
We're turning into a banana republic. We're turning into Venezuela, and these
right.
no trials, no first.
They try to take your religion. They get into your schools. So we just have to continue to speak out and fight it and educate and hope that there are enough people, you know, because look, if they had their way, all the people that are coming in from the border would be able to vote.
Yeah. And they would be living in your house. I mean, you know, they're busing them in the dead of night. They're flying them and busing them all over this country into the interior of this country. Like they're injecting toxins into the bloodstream of our society.
Speaking of critical race, of Black Lives Matter, did you see Chicago on July 4th?
100 people shot.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure what the fatalities. But yeah, and nobody says anything. If you criticize Lori Lightfoot, guess what you are?
Wow.
Yeah, but they're going to use this. They're going to use this to say that there's a gun violence epidemic, and they're going to use this to pass legislation, drastic legislation, to confiscate people's guns. I mean, this is what they're going to use all this crime wave, just like they did in New Zealand.
It's all part of the plan.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's all part of the plan.
Yep,
they're speaking about it. They'll speak about it in terms of, oh, we have to confiscate guns because look what people are doing. That's what they're going to use it for, that purpose, just like they did in New Zealand. It's coming down. Mark my words. So, you know, Biden's already in Chicago right now. You know, Cuomo has already declared a state of emergency because of gun violence. So you can see where they're going. You can see where
they're going. The man who killed 16,000 people, or maybe more, but the 16,000 plus, is going to lecture us about anything?
My leftist.
You want to talk about criminals? My God.
Well, yeah, but leftists don't care. However, there's a silver lining, and that silver lining is we went to Saratoga last week,
last Saturday.
Saratoga. And we saw 40 some thousand people were there to hear Donald Trump speak. And I think that the movement is alive and well, and everybody who was awake is still awake, and with what Karen was saying earlier, with more people being awake now.
So we have more people waking up, and the movement, the MAGA movement, is strong. Americans are waking up everywhere, and all is not lost. We have a lot of good numbers on our side. We have large numbers on our side.
The greatest part about the rally that Sophia and I attended on this past weekend, there were every race, there was every age. When I tell you that from babies and children, toddlers, teenagers, elderly, wheelchairs, walkers, veterans, people just who sat in the rain.
Two hours. One left. We were soaked.
No one left.
In the boat. Nobody left.
Okay.
That's how committed we are.
So people are definitely paying attention. And, you know, we just have to believe that we're going to make a difference. That's how I just get up every day and know that there's something that I can do, someone that I can speak to, and stand my ground, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing that bothers me, that worries me, it doesn't really bother me, because if it happens, it happens. And if it happens to those guys, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of fellas. But violence, whether it's property violence or whether it's violence upon the person, physical violence, that is a very important part of the extreme left's political theater. They rely on it heavily because it terrorizes people. Look at the victims. Look at the victims, the elderly, children, Donald Trump supporters, law-abiding men and women all across this country. And what bothers me and what concerns me is, at what point are people on our side? And I think that they have acted with a tremendous amount of restraint, and it's commendable. But at some point, somebody who's been pushed around by these people, or a group of people who have been pushed around or hurt by these people, are going to say, this far, no further, and we're going to give it back to you. And that's something that, and I think it's a legitimate concern. I'm not advocating violence, and I'm going to go on record, I never have, but my observations of this and human nature tells you, you know, somebody keeps punching at you, sooner or later you're going to punch back,
so
or you're going to get knocked out.
Yeah, they're going to.
And I see this clearer every day.
Well, we it's safe to say that after the infiltration phase of Marxism, they have moved on to what is known as the kinetic phase. This is why they're burning cities, rioting, becoming violent, all these Antifa and Black Lives Matter organizations, you know, sub-cells are coming out and rioting, hurting people, and creating all this havoc.
Chaos.
Because
they want the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's part
they
of...
They want the chaos.
Yes. They bank
they
on
control.
It.
Control. It's chaos and take control. Now, look what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take control of this.
Like Lori Lightfoot did in Chicago.
But what about House? This, I can't deal with this. The fact that they would deny Israel the right to defend itself. I mean, this is what they're denying, to give them the ability to use the Iron Dome and attacking them as an apartheid state. I mean, Israel is preeminent in national security. They've helped us secure our country. It's just sick.
Yeah, without hesitation.
Michelle, did you see what Israel just did, the joint effort with the Navajo Indians in Arizona? They're giving them clean water. Hello, this is in America that the Israelis, I mean, I'm sorry, but they're so...
They were criticized at Surfside. They came to Surfside, flew in, and went right to the site. And they said, we didn't come here to sleep. We came here to save lives.
Right, after a 12-hour flight, they went directly.
Well, and you know, the local synagogue in that area had stepped up immediately. And started working, I guess, with private resources. The what?
Yeah, it was the holding center. We were there. Michelle
and
I went there. Yes. The community rallied for sure. Jexit, Michelle, did an amazing job of rallying people for the cause and still is. You know, we're still working and working with to support, you know, the people who need it down there.
And that is a tragedy unprecedented for that community. I saw the building, and the first thing I thought was Oklahoma City. This is a terrorist act. And it probably wasn't. It was probably just corrupt and incompetent building contractors taking shortcuts, because this happens all the time. But, yeah, and it breaks your heart when these tragedies happen, but then you see what happens with private citizens, and it makes your heart swell.
It does. It really does. It's been a beautiful thing to see. I mean, that if there's a silver line, that is it. Beautiful.
And I guess that's the message. I mean, the hope is within us. We are the cavalry.
Yeah.
If anybody's going to save
us,
it's going to be us.
It's going to be us. Yeah. And, you know, we can't, when those IDF soldiers were helping save lives, Linda Sarsour, who's a Bernie Sanders campaign surrogate, okay, Linda Sarsour, who got kicked off of the Women's March because she was an anti-Semite, even the leftists kicked her out. And she is a Bernie Sanders campaign surrogate. She is one of the people counseling Bernie Sanders on his politics. Bernie Sanders is a fake Jew and an atheist. And you know, a curse upon humanity, who came up with a legislation that would deny Israel the ability to defend itself
and purchase the
missiles that are necessary to maintain the Iron Dome. Okay, that devil of a man who's Jewish only by ancestry, but he is not Jewish. He pretends to be Jewish. All right, and he's the biggest anti-Semite, and this is what we have to deal with in the American Congress. People like Bernie Sanders pretend to be Jewish, who are complete sellouts, who are total swamp, and because of them, you get the American Jews on the left going, oh no, we have Jews on the left in government, and they're going to defend us, and they don't realize that those Jewish people in government are not Jewish. They're not Jewish. They're swamp, they're atheists, they're globalists. And the fact that they have a Jewish ancestry doesn't make them any more Jewish than some of the Nazi Germans were Christians. All right? It does not mean anything.
Exactly.
But that's the way it's been throughout our history. Our own worst enemy is ourselves. We are our own worst enemy.
And we're going to have to rely upon ourselves. To pull us out. Girls, we're down to about the last 2 minutes. I cannot believe how quickly this hour has blistered by us. And first and foremost, thank you all very, very much for being on the program. I've enjoyed talking with you tremendously, and I just want you to know that you have a forum here on a conservative perspective, just as you do on Gary's program, United Patriots Uprising. Before we leave, and before I turn it over to Mark Hoffman, could you maybe tell us a little bit about how they can get in touch with the Jexit movement and where you guys are going to be, where you can be found and what you're going to be doing next?
Let's turn it over to our IT department.
Okay. So we'll turn it off and then we'll turn it back on again.
Sophia.
Well, you can find us at JexitUSA.org. That's the first thing. If you want to, you know, come and check out our website, we accept donations, you know, give us a little email. It's info@JexitUSA.org. And, you know, we'll
join our newsletter.
Yeah, you'll get news from us, and we look forward to hearing from you. It's JexitUSA.org.
I'm sorry, what
also
was that?
Our club, America First Patriot
Club. Yes, we have a very, very important, of course, is our America First Patriots Club that meets every second Tuesday of the month. It's America First Patriots Club.com. And we have an event coming up on Tuesday the 13th. So go to our website, America First Patriots Club.com. www.thefirstworldwonders.com and check out our next event and come join us.
Ladies, thank you so very much for being on the program. And I'm not kidding. You know, every radio hosts say that all the world should come back. I really do want you to come back because this is a serious problem. And we have to be on the forefront, like so many other problems that are confronting our society in America, and the threats that we face from the progressive left. And I can't think of anybody better to keep us informed of this and tell us what we need to do to stay in the fight. So once again, ladies, thank you so very much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you. We love having us.
Appreciate it.
And we look forward to having you come back again, and I hope it's not very long.
Stay well.
Thank you very much, ladies. There you go, girl. The girls from Jexit. That was great. Like I said, you know, I heard them. They had been on Gary Benford's program a couple of times, and I enjoyed listening to them talk and the points that they were making. And I said, you know, I got to have these guys. So I went ahead and texted Michelle while she was live on the air with Gary. That's all the time we've got. I've already cut into El Guapo's time, 2 minutes, and that is inexcusable. He's got a big show coming up, and there he is. Hey, Mark, what's going on, man?
There.
Mike,
there I am.
Mark, you there? Ah, okay.
I'm there. Mike.
Mike, hey, how's everything going? Did you make it through the storm all right?
Yeah, we made it through the storm all right. We're hanging in there.
I was watching your Jim Cantore show there. I don't know, man. I don't want you doing that. Cantore can do his job because everybody hates him and they secretly want to see him blown out to sea. I don't want that happening with you.
You know?
I know you got Dion Cini tonight, the Trump Wind Stadium flag guy. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to get out of your way. I cut into your time a little bit too much there, and I'm sorry about that. Ladies and gentlemen, the handsome one, El Guapo, the one and only Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio Live, coming up right now. Have a great show, my man.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. That's James Bostic, a conservative perspective, heard two nights a week here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. You want to check him out Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, Gary Binford's United Patriots Uprising. I'm having trouble here, folks, right now. For some reason, I can't get anything done. My son took one of the devices I use for the show to go to a friend's house. And so here I am trying. I got no live feed. Nothing's logging in here. I don't understand what's going on. But, hey, what are you going to do?
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, folks. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer is passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform, they are very human, just like you and I. You pick and choose what laws you uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by a representative. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on the representatives for passing BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's D-A-V-E-B-R-A-Y USA.
That's right, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission Story Television is out now. If you want to make sure you head on out and get that. And I'm going to try something out here. I want to play something before I bring our guest in. So, got to hear this. I have no idea what I'm playing here. I cannot I am having all kinds of technical difficulties here this evening. Tons of difficulties. Oh, there it is. They're singing it.
We need.
All right, here it goes. We'll see. It's going to come on here in a second. I got to play this. The show's a train wreck. We're back to Train Wreck Radio, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do not own the rights to that song. Of course, you got to make sure you tell the folks that because of the propaganda bullshit that we have to deal with in the United States of America today, the cancel culture and all the bullies on it. And we're tired of it. You're tired. I'm tired of it. People are so sick and tired of this cancel culture and the situations that we are in our country right now. So there are fine patriots out there, ladies and gentlemen, all across this country doing great things, preserve and protect our republic. And there are huge things and there are little things. There's people that sit at home and just write emails or every once in a while call their senator. And there are people who go out to huge rallies in Sarasota and out in Ohio with thousands of MAGA patriots, Trump-supporting, America-loving, law enforcement backing American patriots. And then there are those who are involved in the flag drops, which is just amazing to see. so many people coming through with flag drops. Many, many folks have seen over the last few weeks since the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, at least four cool, awesome live TV flag drops. I believe it was Florida Marlins, the Yankees in Tampa, the Yankees in New York, and Boston are the ones that I see. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I want to bring on the man of the hour, the man of the season, only the third person in the history of Major League Baseball to be banned from every stadium in the United States of America. And if you ain't pissing people off, you ain't working hard enough. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Trump One flag dropper, Dion Cini. What's happening, brother? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me on. Good to be here.
How's that for an introduction?
Great to be here.
You know,
awesome.
This is
very excited.
I have a lot of fun doing this stuff. This is a lot of fun for me, so that's where we're at. I'm having a good time, and if you're not having fun doing what you're doing, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. Do something else. You know what I mean? So, all right.
Absolutely.
Now, you've been obviously a Trump supporter this whole time since before 2015 and a half when he came down the escalator when everybody else was like me. Was like, hallelujah, we got the man of the hour coming down the escalator. It's going to be great. It's going to save America, make America great again. Here we go. Bam. Now it's 2020. We get robbed in the election. Obviously stolen. And I hear Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I mean, is going to start their audit now, or they're pushing real hard to get the Pennsylvania audit going. And I'm sure a lot of this hoopla is what motivated you to put a plan of action in. Was your first plan to go to stadiums and drop the Trump One flag, or were you doing other patriotic things first before and you were inspired by a slanted election or something? What happened? What led you to be going into the stadiums and dropping the Trump One flag?
Sure. Yeah, actually, my last drop at Citi Field was
– Oh, that's the
my
Mets.
My last drop at – yeah, the last of the Mets. The Mets at Citi Field. That one was the 27th. That was the last one that I did, and that's the one that I got banned from. That one really didn't go that viral, even though I dropped two flags. That was the last one that I did. But the very first flag drop was in 3 years ago in Yankee Stadium, right at the beginning of the season. But that's not even, you know, the beginning of, you know, where this all started. It started through probably 2 or 3 years before that, before he even went down the escalator.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been a fun five. I guess you say it's been a fun 5 years of triggering snowflakes, because that's actually the main goal of all of this is to not
right.
You know the Trump one Trump 2020, you know, that's all icing on the cake, but the real cake is triggering the snowflakes, and that's the best part.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend Royale Trigger Nation LLC, check him out today. He's triggering liberals for a long time too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah, it started when I was in New York City. It started in New York City. I was actually rowing around Manhattan for a couple of years, and one day I just decided to put a Trump flag on as soon as he announced on my boat and just rowed around, and all I just heard people screaming, you know, as I was rowing. I was like, wow, this is interesting. So I just kept doing it. And then it caught on. CNN did a news story about this crazy guy rowing around Manhattan with a Trump flag. And then, yeah, then I saw, I was like, wow, well, this is pretty interesting. They put Trump 2020, they put a picture of my flag on the front page of CNN, and it says Trump 2020. Like, wow, I could do this a lot. So, yeah, I did it. And then I just kept upgrading and upgrading. And even before I did Yankee Stadium, was the first place I did it was actually in Walt Disney World. That was before Yankee Stadium. That's where I'm banned from life from there, too.
All right, so now. Where can we send you to get banned from next? I think a really good one, but it might be dangerous to be NBA games.
Nah, you know, that's a funny thing. People say the NBA games, but if you think about it, football is probably the worst because that's where they get the most drunk. But NBA actually has the most white, because everybody, like, I don't know when last time you've been to an NBA game, but it's not like a bunch of, you know, black neighborhood thugs or whatever. It's all, you know, wealthy white guys in the stadiums that are in the NBA. So it's nothing to be scared of NBA. It's just not my shtick right now. I'm especially pissed off at the MLB more than anything, and that's why I'm doing it. Just like I used to be pissed off at Walt Disney World because they're big hypocrites, and I was a big fan of Disney World. And now the same thing with baseball. I was a big fan of baseball, and they became big hypocrites. So I put them on my enemy list. And so
sure.
NBA really hasn't done anything to me yet directly. But, you know, so there's a sort of an algorithm to getting these things going. And I am working on a plan for my next venture, I guess you call it.
We might have to get a recruitment up and have people fill in and head on out to the stadiums with the Trump 1 flags and start dropping them all over the place. Wouldn't it be great if we could get like 10 or 15 people flags in one time instead of just one flag or two flags? You know, hold up a deck.
So there's, like I said, there's an algorithm to doing the flag drops. Volume isn't one of them. It's location, timing, what the fans are doing at the time, and the photographer. It's really about the photographer. You bring a really good photographer into the stadium, like that guy that gave me the double FU fingers. You know, something like that. A person who takes a picture like that, it doesn't matter if you have 20 flags or one flag, because the picture sends 1,000 stories, and a really good photographer makes the difference. Not really so much.
Right.
But last week, somebody already did. You know, the day after I got banned, somebody went into San Diego and they did it because I put a bounty up on my Twitter page that said I would give anybody a free flag, a free huge flag, if you drop it at a stadium and, you know, you make it go viral.
There you go. So that was the day after you got banned. Now you got a letter from Major League Baseball. Do you have that letter handy that you can read it? Or I think I have it here, but it's a little small.
I don't actually have it handy on me. But I mean, I could just give you the bullet points. The bullet points were said, you know, stop what you're doing. You keep doing this. You get banned every time. And they even referred to the word as you're performing flag drops, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you guys did my name. You know, that's my brand. It's like saying, you know, Kleenex or, you know, Tide, you know, it's like, that's a name brand. So for them to actually use that in the letter, I was really impressed. And they said the real key thing was that I'm encouraging other people in the letter. So it was a hysterical letter. I loved it. It's like I almost wrote it myself because everything is part of a bigger plan. And that was part of the plan for them to eventually ban me exactly the way they did. One second.
Yeah, that's excellent. And, you know, like I said, folks, in the beginning of the show, only two people besides Dion have been banned from baseball for life, and that's Shoeless Joe and, of course, Pete Rose. That's pretty good company to be in, Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe and Dion Feeney, the only three people banned for life from Major League Baseball.
Actually, there's actually a few more. I think the whole 1919 World Series, the winners or whatever. Also,
I just found out
that the Naked Cowboy is also banned from the MLB, although he didn't get it for life.
Is he?
He's got,
how the hell
yeah,
did he get
he ran on. He ran onto the field a couple times.
Oh, yeah. God, I've never seen that guy for decades. I live in Florida now for 20 years, and he was in New York City before I came to Florida. You know?
Yeah.
This is
sure.
Character. And
something else that actually transpired today too. So I don't know, at the last Mets game, they stole my flags, and I have it on video where the staff finally takes my flag and said, "We're taking your flags, we're keeping them." I said, "Don't do that, or I'm gonna charge you guys with, you know, felony grand larceny." And they took them anyway. So lo and behold, and I did, you know, post it on my Twitter today that they surrendered the flags to the NYPD and delivered them to me. And they didn't, of course, they didn't apologize anything, but they forgoed their felony larceny. So that apparently they don't want to be charged with a larceny theft. And they gave the flags back and had them delivered back to me after a threat that I made on Twitter that I was going to charge them. So,
well, you know,
don't take no shit from nobody.
That's your property. Yeah.
Of course. It's never illegal. So,
you know, when I was a kid, we used to hang banners from the upper deck all the time. Since when are you not allowed to hang banners, especially in Shea Stadium? I remember Fan Appreciation Day at Shea Stadium. I went, I don't know, not long before I moved to Florida. We went over there what the hell is his name, was the coach. He put the fake mustache on and sunglasses after he was tossed out. And Bobby Valentine. And he was still the coach. And we went out to Fan Appreciation Day. They had banners hanging and people, they even let the fans out on the field with their signs and yay. And now if you go there and you put drop a flag or a banner, they ban you for life. Whatever happened to being able to hang
No. They only ban you if they don't like the message. You know, they ban you for life if they don't like the message. If it's the message is within their political beliefs, you know, like hanging MLB, or I'm sorry, BLM, the other acronym for MLB is BLM. They have it hanging across Fenway, like literally across the entire side of the stadium. And they say, no, that's not a political message. We just want to put it up there because we support black people. But really what they're doing is just causing division. So the MLB is just turned into the we know what the MLB has become.
I haven't watched baseball since Derek Jeter retired.
Yeah.
I've had no interest. That team folded away. All those guys retired. None of them are playing. I watch hockey. I live in Tampa Bay.
That's another thing. A lot of people say that I should do this in hockey games. I'm like, you got to understand, baseball games, people aren't watching the games much. They're drinking beer, eating hot dogs, and talking. Yeah. And then when they see a flag, they go crazy. In hockey, and I've actually done it. I did it at a Rangers game one time. About 4 years, right after the Yankees, I went to the Rangers and had a nice drop, and nobody even looked at it because nobody cared. They're watching the game. Right. You know, they're there for the game. Hockey players are there for the game. The fans are there for the game. Everybody in hockey is there for the game, you know, and then hopefully a fight breaks out. So that's what, that's the difference between baseball and hockey.
I went to a boxing match once and a hockey game broke out.
There you go.
I'm a horrible jokester. I try, I was once tried to be a comedian. I failed. I tell the story regularly. It's hard to be on stage and be the only person in the place laughing. And you're the guy telling the joke. It's called bombing. Every time I think about the bomb, I think about remember on the Gong Show, they had the big hook?
Yeah, the hook.
They're going to come and hook me off the stage. So that's right. It didn't work. So here I am doing radio. So can you announce any of the upcoming ideas and plans you have, or is this top secret information at this time? We just need to stay tuned.
It's never really top secret, and I always like to plant seeds as to what I'm going to be doing next. Maybe I'll put a picture of a football, I'm not doing football, but if I did, I would just put a picture of football on my Twitter or something, but I'm still all in the MLB. I am making an announcement tomorrow. I'll be on InfoWars tomorrow about what I'm going to be doing with the team at InfoWars. And we're going to continue. Yeah. We're going to get every baseball stadium done. I'm going to help coordinate them from outside the stadiums, which is just as bad. Because, they're like I said, you can't just walk into a stadium, drop a flag, and expect to go viral and, make people go crazy. There is a certain recipe to make it go perfect. So I'm going to bring a team of people. We're going to keep going to the MLB stadiums. And then, once that's all played out, we'll move into the next thing. I would really like to go after those girls' soccer team right now. Like, these animals are just savages, these girls. They don't deserve to play soccer. Yeah, so...
That one chick is now the spokesperson for Subway, so guess who ain't eating Subway sandwiches? When these terms do stuff like this, I try not to ever give their names or speak about their names because it's only more publicity for them. And in entertainment, sports, or anything like that, all publicity is good publicity, bad, good, or indifferent. So I don't speak their names. We all know who we're talking about. She's got the short hair. She kneels during the national anthem. And she's the spokesperson for Subway. So if you like Subway sandwiches, but you love America more, I would stay out of Subway until they got rid of this girl and stopped using her as the spokesperson. That's just my own opinion. Yeah. I haven't been to Subway in a while. I bought one sandwich since this girl knelt, and it was for my son.
And these professional athletes, man, they gotta, they're the most spoiled brats of the whole planet. Most, especially the ones that are black and oppressed. That's the biggest mystery of the world. Black oppressed people that are making $50 million, $100 million a year contracts, and they're oppressed. Yeah. It's just this whole this whole ideology that everybody's certain groups are oppressed. It's just it's starting to get really annoying.
They say white privilege all the time. Last I checked, it seems more like it's liberal privilege. You know,
Bill Cosby privilege. I want that privilege, right?
Yeah, I want
that privilege.
I don't, because I don't want to get out of jail after I knowingly drugged and sexually assaulted women, and now I'm walking free and I'm a hero. That's kind of scary when they lift that guy up
admitting
as a hero for the things that he's accused of. It's horrifying.
He's not accused. No. He's not accused. He admitted to doing it. That's the other. That's the crazy thing here.
Yeah,
he admitted to doing it.
And he's free. Oh, yeah, but they coerced him. Yeah, that's what they're saying. They coerced him and tricked him and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
These guys trick everybody. Look what they did to General Flynn. They go in, they talk some crap, they speak in circles, they trip you up, you say a false statement, and they get you. I'll tell you what, if they ever come to my door, I ain't saying nothing. If you're at my door, you obviously have something on me. Either arrest me or get the F out of here. I'm not speaking. You want me to speak?
Oh, yeah,
I got a lawyer.
And that's what, that's my whole thing is I'm just inspiring people to just do something different. You know, not even don't do what I'm doing, just do something different. And, the Trump rallies, I've only been to one Trump rally, and I was actually kind of bored. Everybody's going, Trump, Trump, Trump. I'm like, why is everybody, shouldn't we be out fighting Antifa right now? Why are we all in the same room together? We should be out fighting. And I had a good time at that one rally, front row, VIP, whatever. But, like I said, it's all about just being creative, because there's just going to be that one moment in time that kicks something off that's going to make people realize this shit has got to turn around. I've had the FBI actually tell me, you got to stop what you're doing, because you're getting other people all riled up, or you're instigating. Come on. If what I'm doing is instigation, then there's nothing more pure than what I'm doing when it comes to the First Amendment. And I just want to inspire other people to do the same thing. Be different and think outside the box.
Well, they're really attacking the First Amendment these days, hardcore, It's really scary. Some of the stuff that you hear nowadays coming from the left, maybe we should go door to door and encourage people to get vaccinated. What? Huh? Yeah. Government officials knocking on the door encouraging me to get a vaccine? I don't think so.
Yeah. Don't listen to them. I'm really tired of even hearing the word masks. Shut up. I don't even want to hear vaccine. I don't want to talk about it. All this, and even cancel culture. I don't believe in cancel culture. Even on the right, if you're canceled from Facebook, hey, it's not your platform. Go out and just be bigger than Mark Zuckerberg. Be bigger than, I started with me and learned from Disney. When Disney, they started to do political shit against Trump, I was like, okay, it's my turn now. I had the executives at Disney more angry than the MLB is me right now. They were sending people after me, whatever. But in the end, it's like there is no such thing as cancel culture. That's just a mentality thing that you can do whatever you want, the way you want to do it. Just don't to be on Facebook and Twitter to do all this stuff. Get outside, and there's a whole new world out there offline that you can, it feels like I have a monopoly on it. I'm just wondering where everybody else is.
Right. We had a couple of folks go out and paint some crazy murals, outside of Trump Tower. And there was a young lady there. What's her name? She came on my show. Beveline Betty. And she went out to the Black Lives Matter mural in front of Trump Tower with black cans of paint and her friends, and they trashed it. It was the greatest thing. I was watching it when they did it live. I was cheering, yay!
I was there that day. That's it. That's the kind of stuff you got to do. You got to be bold. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
I had her and a friend come on the show. I thought that was one of the greatest things I ever seen was when they did that. And they're going, Black Lives Don't Matter to You, screaming and yelling at them, Jesus Matters. And I was like, oh, these people are amazing. This is incredible.
Yeah, she's great.
She's funny. I got to call this lady and get her on my show. and she came on. She was glad to come on, right after it. And what I thought was great is she got out and then did it two more times that night in two different murals in other locations in the city, which was amazing. And like you said, you got to be active. That went viral. Many, many, many people seen that. That was really good. That was amazing. And I agree, being creative and doing something, like, I don't know if you know of the organization Overpasses for America. I was involved with them for a long time, and they had it, when they first kicked off, it was something new. 75, 100 patriots up on a bridge waving flags. You know, it started back when Obama was president, when I got involved, and it was the impeach Obama era. And it was inspiring because, you know, when I first started doing all this stuff, I'm like, man, sometimes I feel like I'm alone. And then I went out on an overpass, and there was 75 other people out there that felt just like me. And I was like, holy crap, I'm not alone, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the next election cycle is coming up, and 4 years will be here before you know it. We know this, and I'm not saying, you know, Trump's not going to be president before, you know, 2024, but, you know, just in case, you know, be redundant, we should be out rallying for him now, like we were all out rallying for him in 2024 every day, 4 years leading up to the election. And it just doesn't seem like it's happening that way. You know, everybody's just waiting for the next Trump rally. Where are the car rallies? Where is every, just, you know, if you just do it with American flags, you know, those were some great days. You know, COVID really helped that, actually. It really accelerated. You know, the car rallies and the boat rallies really took off under COVID, man. Where those were some fun days. But I think we should.
They broke the world record down here in Florida. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was. Which one? In Fort Myers or Clearwater?
Tampa area. Where they had actual Guinness Book of World Records officials out there, and they counted 2,200 boats.
Yeah, my business partner did that, Cliff. You know Cliff, Conservative Grounds, Cliff?
I'm down the road from now. I'm an hour from there, and I've never been to that place. I cannot believe it. So many great patriots. You know what it is? I got a busy life. That's why I do my radio show. This is like what I can do. I don't make rallies. Yeah. It's really hard for me. So the way I do it is I bring guests like you on, and I spread truth in the media lies, and I speak. Because I can't go everywhere. So this, I came up with a clever plan. I got creative, and this is what I did. Because it's helpful. Everything helps. Spread the message. Even if one person hears the show tonight, and they go tell two people, it's like a crappy shampoo commercial. Before you know it, the words, it spreads.
Yep.
So you keep talking.
Every little teeny tiny bit counts, man. Every little teeny. And it's those little teeny tiny bits, the ones that make the biggest difference, you know. It doesn't have to be a bomb going off or anything, but... Yeah, that's it.
We created a group a few years ago called Amnesty Response Plan, and we wanted people to respond to all the amnesty that was going on. And people were like, well, what do we do? How do we do it? Well, we came up with a plan. There's so many different things you can do. One, you can go to places and stand there with signs and flags. Or you can write emails, you can make phone calls, you can write snail mail letters, you can walk around the neighborhood and talk to people. There's so many different things you can do to raise awareness to the amnesty scam that was going on at the time. And that's so true. Everybody has a phone, everybody has email, everybody has a pencil and paper and some stamps and envelopes. There's so much you can do if you can't make a rally or you can't go out. I tell people, dial 202. 221-2024, you know, when I used to have it memorized, the DC switchboard, and I would say it all the time, just call the switchboard and scream. I think half the reason we have our Second Amendment through the Obama administration is because we encourage so many people to call and scream at their senators and congresspeople that they better not. We're watching. I really believe that helped. I really believe that was part of it, was the grassroots people calling, writing, and emailing their congressmen and their senators. Because there were times where I would call that switchboard and you cannot get through. It's busy, 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 busy. And that's that's encouraging. When you call 10 times during the course of the day and you can't get through, that's good news for me.
Yep.
You know? And that works for any effort, any mission. If you can't make it out and be seen in public, there are other ways. There are other avenues, and there are other ways to fight. It's not just sitting on the sidelines watching CNN and hoping that there's going to be a great savior one day to come back for you, because at this point, who knows? The only savior is going to make a difference.
Sometimes I feel like I'm wasting my time too. You know, I was very disappointed with the election results, obviously. I called it, though, and I told people, because I traveled the country. I saw – You know, I only went into enemy territory. I'm like, these people are freaking pissed, man. I don't know what Trump did to these people, but they are mad. And they're going to do shit. And they're going to destroy things. And I called the whole thing. I was like, and they're going to cheat. And everybody kept saying, landslide, landslide. I said, there ain't going to be no landslide. It ain't going to happen. Because it doesn't matter if they put a rock or a pile of dirt against Trump. They just wanted him out because the media brainwashed all these people to him as being a bad person. And I don't know what we're going to do next time. You know, I have no idea. You know, that's why I'm like, why am I doing this again? You know, twice as hard. I'm actually coming out a little bit harder this time than I came out of the gate last time. Because I know that the voter fraud is going to be so bad next time that there's just, you know, like, that's it. You know, all is lost.
I told everybody, I said, wait till the election. I said, did you see what happened in the Florida gubernatorial race with this guy? What the heck's his name? Gillum. The guy who ran against DeSantis when his family members were turned up in Avis rent-a-car parking lots at airports with ballots in the trunk and nothing happened. I said, nothing happened. This was the test run. We are lucky that DeSantis won. This is wait till nobody was held accountable. Nobody got in trouble. Wait till the presidential election. You're going to see like you've never seen before. And when I went to bed 10 o'clock, 10:30 on election night, Trump was way in the lead. And when I woke up and he lost, I couldn't believe it.
I had a feeling all night. And I just, like I said, I saw it from the reaction of the people. I only worked enemy territory for the previous four years and one Trump rally. And I saw him and I was like, these people are going to do whatever they can do to win. It doesn't matter. They'll break the rules. They're going to be evil. They're going to cheat. They're going to do everything. It's not a slam dunk, unfortunately. So, this time is just more for fun, I guess. Like if everybody's even saying you can't win the next election. You know, they got it so rigged. You know.
And they know we're not going to do nothing. We don't burn down and destroy other people's property. They wish we would, because then they could throw all of us in jail. But we don't go out and destroy other people's property. That's ridiculous. These people are screaming and yelling about racial injustice as they burn down their friend's mom's, you know, hair salon. You know, stuff like that. They're burning down their own towns. They're trashing people's livelihoods. How is that helping anything when you just destroyed someone who maybe worked their whole life? Not only that, but a lot of the businesses and things that got tortured belong to black folks. So they torch the business of their own people to make
in the name of social justice, right?
It makes no sense. I came from out on Long Island in the 80s, and things were different back then. And I teach my son, because when I was a kid, I didn't see black people, white people. I just saw people, and I try to teach my son that. There's no race. There's no color. We're just a bunch of people. The only race is the damn human race. So when you go into a room, I don't care if it's a room full of, peg-legged pirates, you're just going to see a room full of people until somebody crosses you, until somebody disrespects you or does something that's not right. Otherwise, they're just people. Who cares what they look like? We all bleed red. We all go to the bathroom the same way. We pull our pants on one leg at a time. We're all people. I don't care who it is. And the fact that people still see color when they look at people makes me sick. It kills me. Patriotism has no color. The only color of patriotism is red, white, and blue. That's it.
Yeah. Like I said, I have a military background. I was a United States Marine many years ago. Still am, I guess you'd say that. But, you know, we didn't have that. There's no color issue in the military. It's like there's a lot of, what do you call them, shitbirds? But there's not a lot of color in the military. There's just one color, you know. It's a shame. We should, right now, more than anything, America, everybody needs to spend some time in the military, just like they do in Israel. And that's why Israel is the toughest country in the world. I mean, look at them. They're only 6 million, 7 million people surrounded by a billion people that want to kill them, and they're untouchable.
Right.
So, you know, they're the most patriotic people on the planet when it comes to themselves, you know, the Jewish people. But the American people need to spend, like, reality check. And the only way I can actually see it is military. You know, I was also, before I was in the military, I was a Boy Scout. So the Boy Scout, that's another thing that's just destructive. You know, like they destroyed the Boy Scouts. It's gone.
Right.
You know, and that just, that's it, man. There's just no, I don't see any correction. You know, like it's not like the stock market. Stock markets can naturally correct themselves because money's involved. But I don't see any correction of America going back to America outside of a nuclear war.
And speaking of the Scouts, what I don't understand there is how come it's the Scouts, but the Girl Scouts are still the Girl Scouts?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to take that over soon, too, though. You know, we're doing it in the Olympics. You know that's ours. We're coming to get that. You know, the boys are going to come take the Girl Scouts, no problem, because that's what we're doing in the Olympics and other sports. So what the hell? Let's get the Girl Scouts, too. Terrible.
It's unbelievable. Now, you got the first group of girls. I don't know if it was this year or if it was last year, the first group of girls who ascended through the Scouts and became Eagle Scouts, you know? So you didn't see any boys out selling Girl Scout cookies, none of that stuff, you know? So it's a double standard, one-sided propaganda scam to get us all to go along with this. And don't get me wrong, my brother's gay and my mom left my dad for a woman in 1975. I've been around it my whole life, but this is all a ploy to push the LGBTQ community into the mainstream and make it okay. When I sit around and I hear 10 and 12-year-old kids sitting around a table at an amusement park talking about gay, transgender, and pansexual, to me it's like, what the hell's going on? We are losing this battle with the kids. We got to keep fighting because they're the future. I'm so lucky that my son is in the school he's in. They teach the Constitution. They taught World War II history. I was just elated at the lessons that I was hearing from my son. So it's not in every school. We're in Florida. Florida's schools, some of them are holding true to the values of reading, writing, and arithmetic and history, the way it was written, and the Constitution. They told my son that the Constitution, no laws supersede the Constitution, that it is the law of the land, and it protects our right to bear arms and the right to free speech. They actually said that to a fourth grade class. And I was very happy to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
They actually said the right to bear arms in a classroom to fourth graders. I was very happy.
Yeah, we're living in very different times. We're just like always, you know, I don't know how the older generations, anybody older than me at least, you know, because we're 80, you say you're from the 80s, right? I'm from the 80s, too. I grew up in the 80s. Yeah, country is nothing like it was in the 80s. You know, we had racism, but nobody really gave a shit. Black people lived in black neighborhoods. Italians lived in Italians. Polish lived in Polish. And everybody was just normal. Now it's just been so, you know, beat to death, you know, of this interracial, you know, everybody's living together. It's just unbearable anymore. And I don't know why they want to do it, why these politicians, especially Democrats, mostly Democrats, want to just separate us and destroy us for they're not thinking about their own children because it isn't good for them. It might be good for them and their $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 jobs and all expense paid, but the future for their children is screwed.
And what I don't understand too is all the Jewish Democrats who support the anti-Semitism against the Jewish community. What?
Yeah.
Like, we really lost it when Jewish people are okay with Jewish people being attacked in public.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I lived in
a very Jewish neighborhood in Upper West Side. I'm actually out of there now. But I lived there, you know, during Trump the entire time, and all the Jewish people would scream at me, and call me a Nazi. Jewish people in the Upper West Side, very wealthy, calling me a Nazi. Like, you're educated, you have money, you have everything in the whole world, and you think I'm a Nazi? I mean, like, you've never cracked a history book? You made all this money and your success, and you never read your own history? How could you be calling me a Nazi? All I'm doing is holding a flag.
As Antifa runs around attacking people, beating people, burning property, using fascist tactics to intimidate the other side. They call themselves anti-fascists while they use fascist tactics like the brown shirts of Hitler.
And the Jewish people support them because they think that it was the system that made them that way. You know, but we're talking about those kinds of Jewish. We're not talking about Orthodox Jewish, Christian Jewish. These are non-practicing Jewish people that live in these inner cities. These inner cities, these upscale cities, you know, who have this mentality that they feel everybody's oppressed. So they're the same as those white LGBTs and everybody that think black people are oppressed. So they think the same thing about these Antifas, and they support them for some reason. I don't know. Self-destruction.
Yeah. The guy on before me, James Bostic, he has a show two nights a week, Conservative Perspective Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m., and he had the Jexit girls on tonight. And they are a great bunch, Michelle and Alexandra.
Yeah, I know that. Sure.
Yeah, they're good people. I brought Michelle on the show when Jexit first kicked off, and George Colella made the patch for them, and they were just starting out. And I've been following Michelle since, and we're friends, and we talk a lot. And they're doing amazing things. And I believe that Trump probably got more Jewish votes than any Republican in any election, simply just because of the work of the Jexit movement, which was great. And, of course, Blexit, Lexit, and the Walk Away campaign. That's what I understand. Brandon Straka and the Walk Away group went from 300,000 to 10 million members, like, in a month. And they still lost. To me, it's baffling what we witnessed. And I think, really, the only thing that's going to save this country, Dion, is for the government and the country to completely collapse, and then Americans will wake up and go, holy crap, look what we did to our country, and maybe they'll stand up then. I don't know.
Yeah, I know Michelle and the Godfather very well. I've been to a bunch of Jexit events, and so, yeah, they're really good friends of mine.
Yeah, I did a few events here in Florida with George. We had a really
cool.
We had an awesome car rally that went from Hernando County all the way down into Pinellas County and all the way back up to Hernando County, covered three counties.
Yeah.
And when they finished off at the Weeki Wachee Mermaid Show parking lot, there was a few thousand people. It was really amazing. It was a really good thing. And then I threw a Second Amendment event, and we had George come and speak at our Second Amendment event. And we've done some things over the last few years. When he did Reads Across America for a while, I had him on with that. And so I've been having George on for a long time. He's a really amazing guy. How many miles? He's traveled like 50,000 miles on his new motorcycle. His motorcycle's like 2 years old.
Yeah, sure.
50,000 miles on it. The guy is amazing. And there's a
I was just on a boat. I was on a boat with him. Sorry. I was in the boat parade, a Jupiter boat parade last month with George.
He's awesome. Yes. And then Jonathan, who hooked this up. Jonathan out there at CBT.
I just got off the phone with Jonathan.
He's an amazing patriot. That guy is something else. And I don't know how some of these guys do it, man. They get out there and they're everywhere. God bless them. I'm lucky if I can make it somewhere once. These guys are everywhere, every event. God bless them. I don't know how they do it. They got amazing energy. It's great. And it's so inspiring to be able to witness this and see.
And
what
I just
want
to. Sorry, so speaking of that, you know, I'm also now part of another, I guess you call it an organization called Trumparilla, which was framed after the Gasparilla, you know, the Gasparilla Parade, right?
Yes.
In Tampa.
Yeah.
And they canceled, so we created Trumparilla, so we had the Trumparilla Parade. And then we had another one out in San Diego. Now we're doing one down in Fort Myers. It's probably going to be the biggest one we're going to be doing. We're going to do New Orleans, Fort Myers, Las Vegas, North Carolina, the Outer Banks, Ohio, a couple other places. So we're trying to do this because the theme is of Trumparilla. We're just taking it directly from Gasparilla. It's the pirates.
Right.
You know, we want everybody to have this pirate attitude now, because this nice Mr. Nice Guy thing has got to change. It's the only way we can win. We can't win by being nice. We've been there, done that, lost.
You know, the famous
word. Trumparilla.com. I just want to plug that. Trumparilla.com. Find
Absolutely.
Out all the information.
We'll give you a chance to plug everything right here in a minute. But, you know, I like everybody to get their information out as much as possible, especially if it's making a difference, and inspiring people. And I was going to say something, Dan. This is the problem with old age, my brother, man. I get ready to say something, and I can't remember. Oof, that's horrifying.
Sometimes I get it.
I make Joe Biden look like a genius sometimes. I can't remember my name half the time. I hope I'm not getting something. My dad had dementia, so I don't know, man. I get nervous sometimes. Yeah. But who knows, you know, my cognitive self is declining. But, you know, the 80s might have had something to do with that on Long Island. I grew up on Long Island in the 80s. It was a wild time, you know.
Yeah, the 80s, these kids have no idea. They have no idea, today's kids, what the 80s. And, you know, our 80s were the same as our parents' 50s, right? So we got to experience the end of culture. When the 90s, you know, there was some 90s, there was some culture, but before the year 2000, that's it. Culture, all culture, music, dance, life, anything has just been wiped out. You know, they even talk about the way the New York City is. New York is destroyed right now, right? It was destroyed in the 70s, but in the 70s it was cool. in the 80s. You know, it was like it had culture. Right. You know, the dirty streets meant something. The prostitution meant something. You know, even the drugs were fully controlled. Now drugs are just free for everybody. You know, now, but you know that it was mystique to do drugs in the 70s and the 80s. Now everybody just does drugs. You know, it's okay, I guess, but these kids have no idea what they missed.
I saw my son. I grew up in the dark ages. Like, what are you talking about? I said, if we wanted to do anything, we had to get on our bikes and drive down the street and knock on the door. We had to pick up a phone and call them. We didn't have any of this technology, and if they weren't home, there was no answer. We took a chance. We jumped on our bike. We rode 4 miles to our friend's house, hope he was there.
Exactly.
You know. Anyway, you guys have no idea. We didn't have beepers. We had an 8-track player and AM radio. 1974, you know. We had an 8. How many people you say 8-track? What's an 8-track player? Huh? What?
Yep.
8-track player. Yep. Never heard of it. I actually have a cassette player that works, and we listen to cassettes. I got cassettes from the 80s and the 90s that I got in the 80s and the 90s, and I can listen to them. It's crazy.
Yep.
You know, I can listen to, you know, Megadeth, D-Cell.
But one of these days, this internet is just going to go off. And it is parties because the government can do that. The government can flip the switch and the internet is off. And when that happens, and it's eventually going to happen, because that's how an uprising is eventually going to happen. You know, it's already happened in other countries where Twitter has actually caused a riot. In America, you can shut the internet off. It can be done. And when that happens, these people, their heads are just going to explode. They're going to, you know, what do we do? How do we drive? Cars are just going to smash into each other because they won't know how to get from point A to point B. You know, there's no thought process. And I'm telling you, man, this party's not going to last forever. This party's not going to last.
You know what I still have, Dion? I have a stack of paper maps. I used to drive around Florida, and I have county maps for all different counties. I'd have to go up to Ocala, or I'd have to go down to Punta Gorda or whatever. And I have all these maps that I used to use to get around. And I show my son, I said, here, can you show me how to get around on this? And he has no idea. They look at a map like, what is this? Holy moly. Well, you got to look at the square. You got to find the 2 over there and the D over there and find it. You know, you look in the little list. It says the street name is in D3. So you look for square D3 and you find it in that little square.
Sure.
People have no idea how to read a freaking map. They have no clue.
Flying north.
East, west, north, south, east, west. What's that? Huh?
Yeah.
All I do is
say any kid, any kid, point to the North Star. I dare you. I point any kid alive today, point to the North Star. Show it to me. Yeah.
My son can do it.
How do you find
it?
Yeah. Right.
He wants to be an astronomer.
I actually got to jump on another call at 9 o'clock. Is that okay? Or are we going to?
Yeah, that's awesome. Anything you want to plug right now before you wrap it up, plug away.
Yeah.
Any websites, organizations, groups, upcoming events, anything like that, give a shout out. Say hello to all your friends.
I appreciate it. Just appreciate having it on. It's great to be on. First time actually on. So you guys can call back if something big happens in the future. Talk some
Absolutely.
More. You know, I actually enjoy, you know, it's not always that I like talking to the big channels. I very rarely do on-camera interviews. I have one with Newsmax next week. That's very rare because I just like this kind of stuff where you can just talk like a human being and, you know, you don't have to really worry about what you say. So,
as
far as plugs go, so the only thing I really like to plug is Trumparilla. It's our big thing that's for this year, you know, to do the boat parade with a theme. And we're also doing a cruise in January of 2021. And that information is at Trumparilla.com too. So the cruise is a 5-day Trumparilla pirate cruise. We're just going to have a good time on a full size cruise ship. And I guess, of course, huge, 2022, January 2022 is when the cruise is going to go out. But Trumparilla, just follow us. We're going to have a good time. Lots of events. Fort Myers is going to be the grand one, and Vegas is going to be the fun one. And then, of course, hugeflags.com. That's huge with a Y. Of course, I don't have to plug that anymore because my own factory can't keep up with the amount of sales I'm having because so many media channels are plugging that flag, the Trump One flag. So, other than
huge,
that, just
huge flag,
huge,
like Y-U-G-E?
Yeah, huge, like the way Trump says huge flags. Or Trump2024swag.com, but the huge flags thing is sort of picking up. That's if you want to get the big flags or the little flags. I prefer you get the big flags. They make a difference. The big flags have really I've sold more Trump One flags than any other flag combined for the large flags. There's a lot of them out there right now.
Amen. Hallelujah. Dion, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You got a spot here anytime. Just reach out. You want to come on, just give me a call, send me a message, and we'll get you on the show to promote or talk
we'll
about
do.
Anything you want to talk about.
Cool. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Have a great night.
Thank
Enjoyed
you,
it.
Sir. Have a
great
night, and
right.
God bless.
You
keep up the great work.
God bless you, too. All right. We'll do.
Dion Cini, Trump One flag dropper. You want to head on over to www.hugeflags.com. That's Y-U-G-E, not huge like you want to do, but hugeflags.com. Get your flags today. You heard Dion. He's telling us that he's having a hard time getting these flags because everybody's ordering them. So let's get over to hugeflags.com, trumparilla.com. Gasparilla is a huge festival they have here in Florida, and they canceled it this year for the first time in like 100 years or something like that. And so they did Trumparilla, and they had the Gasparilla pirate boat out there, and a bunch of our favorite patriots from Florida rented that boat. They asked me to go on that boat. It was like $300. Like, the price was ridiculous. I couldn't afford going on that boat, but it was amazing. They broke the world record here in Florida with 2,200 boats, the biggest boat parade going, and they're going to have more. So you want to go over to Trumparilla.com and check it out. You heard them, Vegas, all these different boat parades they're going to have. And it's very important to keep the enthusiasm going. 2022, we got to take the House and take the Senate. And I believe if we get the House and the Senate in 2022, President Trump is going to run with no doubt. And I think he needs to run, even if we don't flip the House and the Senate, I think he can win and at least stop the radical agenda. In 2 years, it's really out of hand. Things are just so insane now. I don't know what's going, who's coming, who's going, what's happening. It's really crazy. And of course, God is great, and we're going to get through it one way or the other. So we keep fighting, keep talking, keep speaking, bring on some good shows. We're going to have a new show coming up here soon. We'll have an announcement not too far off in the future here about what's going to be going on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We're going to pull a show off on Wednesday nights. We're working on a title right now, and we're going to have a new host who's going to join the team. He's in our chat group right now, and his name is Kevin White. He's authored a great book, and we're going to bring Kevin White on here. I'm not sure exactly the kickoff date, but stay tuned. We're going to iron out the details here very soon, and we really like to get Gonzalo Duran and Devil Dogs USA back up and running here one day, because I really think Gonzalo did great things. He was a down and out returning veteran, and he pulled himself up by the bootstraps and created Devil Dogs USA, and he had a show here for a little while. We'd like to get him back on the show. He was on Wednesdays. Maybe we can squeeze him on Fridays. We need you back, Gonzalo. Please come back with Devil Dogs USA. And with that, I'm going to find it. This song right here, the ad promo, the American brand and Devil Dogs. There you have it. Let's see. We're going to do the Star Spangled Banner, of course, ladies and gentlemen, by our good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. You can get all kinds of things out there, like shirts and all kinds of swag merchandise. Dave Bray and Patriotic. All kinds of patriotic stuff. You want to head on out to patriotshit.com. And you might have heard in the top of the show, Liberty Rush is social media without the libtarded rhetoric. You want to head out to that as soon as possible. So please rise as we do this. This is the Star Spangled Banner as performed by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. And don't forget United Patriots of the Rising with Gary Binford. Here you go. Rise and join us as we do the Star Spangled Banner, Dave Bray. I got some good shows lining up here, too, in the near future. I'm looking to get Del Bigtree on again pretty soon. And we got Jeremy Brown. He is the oathkeeper whistleblower who was confronted by FBI. He taped the interview of them trying to recruit him to disrupt the January 6th thing with the oathkeepers. And I got a couple other ones that are lining up pretty soon, too. So Jeremy Brown and Del Bigtree coming up here in the next few weeks. I'm trying to get Dave Bray. He's doing some great things, too, for veterans. So you want to tune in here Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, to the Patriot Nation Radio Show live. And, of course, we got another show coming up here soon. On Wednesdays, we got United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford and Conservative Perspective with James Bostic Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're trying to line up the whole week with shows that cannot fail you. So make sure you tune into the Patriot Nation Radio Network as much as possible. And until we meet again, good night. God bless you and God bless America. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.